Conversations with Authors podcast. I'm your host, Alison Thompson, aka The Proof Fairy, and this podcast is an excuse for me to have a chat with a published author about what inspires them to write, how they go about the writing and publishing process, and what effects it's had on their life. I also ask them what tips they have for other aspiring authors. This week, the podcast goes to Suffolk, where I meet James Jenkins, a writer of gritty noir fiction. James has had over a dozen short stories published in magazines and anthologies, and as a result, he managed to secure that golden ticket for authors, a publishing contract. His first novel is Parochial Pigs, and it came out in January 2022. So keep listening to find out how James's perseverance paid off. Hello, James. Thank you so much for being my guest on the podcast today. So tell me a bit about your book.
Hi, Alison. Thanks for having me on. Well, my book is Parochial Pigs. It's my debut gangland novel. It's entwined with a dark, ritualistic undertone. There's some very dark humour and strong language. This is part of an ongoing narrative. So my second manuscript's been completed and work's on underway on the final.
So it's going to be a trilogy. It's the first of a trilogy.
That is the plan, yes. Without getting too far ahead of myself.
Yeah, I have talked to people who've kind of got 10 books planned and then they're on number one. And I think, wow, that's quite an ambition to be looking that far ahead. But a trilogy is a nice manageable number, I think. So what inspired you to write it?
Well, I've always loved reading and writing, always been into music. That's been my main sort of source of writing before. And then a little while ago, well, probably about 4.5 years ago, one of our friends wanted to make an indie film and it was quite gangster sort of related. After the end of that, he asked if I had any ideas. So I thought I'm going to finally put myself into it and actually start writing something. And after about 10,000 words and 16 hours, I realised this was going to be too big for an indie film. So it sort of grew from there, really.
Okay, so is writing something you've always done then?
It's free music. I always had a love for writing, creative writing. Unfortunately, didn't have the best experience at school. Sort of gave, not overly all, just over in English in particular. And left, started a job. And it was just music sort of outsourced. And was a big catalyst really, was my friend asked me to write some ideas down.
That's fascinating. It's really sad to hear that. I had a similar experience in school. I don't know if it happens nowadays, but especially back in, I don't know how old you are, but I was at school in the sort of the 70s and the 80s, and teachers just had these little throwaway comments that could completely destroy your confidence, couldn't they? So I was told, don't do O level art because it will be a waste of an option. Which just led me to think I'm hopeless at art. I can't do anything creative. And I didn't for years and years and years. And now I do a lot of art and it's not very good, but I enjoy it and I have fun with it. And it sounds like that might've been a similar sort of thing for you, that something in English kind of led you to believe that writing wasn't for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 37. I don't think it changed much in the 90s of my experience. That was in high school. I don't want to go into him too much, but was one particular teacher he'd taken exception, I think, through not just myself, my sister and my auntie before, and he was less than encouraging. It was it was more the feedback. Every time I submitted anything into him, like, it would come back with a red pen. But he wasn't very good at explaining what it was I wasn't doing right. And that sort of, I had kind of, had sort of hopes of sort of doing English lit at sort of university, but it kind of quashed that. And like you say, I think some of the sometimes the way they will sort of quash your ideas before you've been able to sort of learn your skills is very much, I kind of got sort of put in the bracket of, he'll be good with his hands.
It's such a shame, isn't it? I think I wonder how many people have never kind of followed through on things that actually they'd have really enjoyed or been really good at because of some comment or some feedback that they got at school. It's a shame. Absolutely, but anyway, you've obviously managed to sort of put all that to one side and and have become an author. You've become a published author. So how did you go about writing this book? Are you a planner, a pantser, somewhere in the middle? How did you, yeah, well, what was the writing process like?
It's definitely changed now since the first book. It's another standalone. In fact, where I'm sitting now, I've got several A4 sheets of paper sellotaped together with a very long spine going down with chapter ideas shooting off. But with Parochial Pigs, it really did set out as I just thought I'd make a little short film or a script for a short film. And then there were several ideas I sort of had, and then that kind of intertwined itself into its own story. It was then, after I realized it was too big for us to do anything with, that I sort of thought, well, hang on a minute, I've got a short here, but there's no beginning story, there's no history to it. So then I went back and actually wrote, completely unorthodox, wrote the beginning to make the end.
That's interesting. It just shows, doesn't it, you don't actually have to start at the beginning of the story. I have a friend who's a writer who has written a scene for her second book in a trilogy when she hasn't actually written the first one yet, because the scene came to her and she knew where it fitted in, having a vague idea of the storyline. I think people think you have to sit and write chapter one and begin at the beginning and work your way through. And actually, it doesn't have to be as linear as that, does it?
Yeah, not at all. I totally agree with that. I think if you've got an idea, wherever it comes out in the book eventually, if you've got that idea, I think you've got to go with it, start getting words down, because the rest will start coming to fruit around it.
Yeah, definitely. I did I wrote a novel during, I don't know if you've heard of NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, happens every November. And I wrote a novel last November, and I found when I was out with the dogs, I had ideas for scenes popping up into my head. And I ended up I kind of talked through in my head the last scene of the book while I was out, and I was only about halfway through it at that time. And that was quite nice, knowing where I was working towards, sort of thing. Quite a good way of doing it. So yeah, it just shows that plans are useful, but also writing in the wrong order can be useful as well.
Absolutely. I mean, like you say there, you've got that end. You've almost got the carrot dangling in front of you. You want to get there and connect it all together.
Yeah, you know where you're going with it. So this second novel is the second in the series, is much more planned, is it, by the sounds of it, from the huge sheet of paper?
Yeah, well, the one with the huge sheet of paper is a standalone. That would be a fourth novel, if you like. But yeah, that won't have any sort of trilogy. But that one was much more planned. There's a lot inspired by the events of the last 2 years, where I work, and as usual, as I think it's becoming a sort of a characteristic of my writing, as it normally follows a sort of slightly depraved, unconventional character.
Sounds intriguing. Sounds very intriguing. Yeah, bit of deprivation. I think that sounds good. Yeah.
Yes.
So how did you get Parochial Pigs published?
Well, it's a really long journey actually writing. When I had the first sort of, I think I must have had something around 28,000 words. It's just over 50,000. But one of my friends who works in non-fiction editing, he's an incredibly amazing creative writer, downplays himself all the time, hasn't pushed himself forward to put anything out there. But his help and his advice to sort of give me those sort of talents that maybe I'd missed out on sort of from school just helped me shape, model it, dress it up properly. The things I'd sort of learned from him sort of really got it to that point. So I was really lucky in the sense that I almost had a proofreader editor on board at the time.
Okay.
But when we got to the end of that, he obviously, with his sort of line of in publishing, it can't really help me with fiction.
Yeah.
So it was a case of the writer's workshop, the free newsletter, scrolling through that endlessly, looking for open submissions, publishers that were open to unsolicited submissions, researching them, making sure that, because that's what a lot of stuff I was reading is if you obviously submit to the wrong people, it actually can be quite damaging. And obviously the publishing community being quite a small world, actually.
Yeah.
So then it was literally just doing that, compiling a list of about 20 publishers at the time. and then just being met with constant rejections, really.
Familiar story, yeah. Oh dear. So where did you go from there? Did you get an acceptance letter in the end, or did you?
So well, actually, I got a really nice rejection letter. And I'd gone against my own advice a bit there, and sort of what I'd learned about not submitting to the right people. I mean, they were crime, and I'd read part of one of their books, and there was some similarities you could sort of take, but it certainly wasn't as gritty as what I sort of write. But I submitted to them anyway, and the response was pretty good. They were saying the president was set wrong, the story was a little bit confusing, and yeah, I tried to be a bit clever and chopped the chapters up and around. So I took that on board, restructured it, and they actually said we'd only take it anyway if we liked the second one. So I submitted the second.
Yeah.
They forgot about me. Beginning to slip into that dark void that I think we've all been in.
Oh, no.
And then I just thought, I've got nothing to lose. So I chased them up, and they did read it, and it came back to us a little bit too dark and disturbing for our readers.
Yeah.
But wished me luck, and then gave me a suggestion for Bristol Noir.
Okay. They're
an online e-zine who do publish in paperback their anthologies every now and then. And to me, part of my book's based in Bristol, and you could loosely say I fit into a noir category. So
yeah,
this was where the door opened. I waited for them to open up for submissions, waited 6 weeks, nothing at all. Struggling at this point to find new people to submit to that would take unsolicited. And then I just thought, what the hey, I'm going to email him. Him, asked if I could submit. He said, we don't submit, we don't publish novels, but we do short stories for our e-zine. And he invited me to submit one. And crazy enough, when I was reading the email, doing my research, I was reading his book at the time. So I didn't know it was the same guy. I just assumed that he was one of their published authors.
Yeah.
When I was reading the book, I was like, this is the nearest thing I'd read at that point to anything that I do. So it opened up another world. I thought, I am doing the right thing. There is hope for me yet. People do read these things. And he encouraged me to join Twitter, which I hadn't even touched at the time. And ever since then, the writing community, how supportive they are on there, it just opened so much. I started submitting short stories and writing short stories, which I've never done before.
Okay.
And I think between the beginning of October to the end of December, I wrote 10, eight of them got accepted by e-zines.
Yeah.
One appears in a published anthology. And at the beginning of this, I've seen the publisher. They are an indie publisher called Alien Buddha Press. I'd submitted it to them. And to be honest, I've forgotten. I completely forgot. Like, you were so busy writing the short stories and thinking, you know, just build myself a bit of a following, that just before Christmas I got the email back saying I'll accept this, and offered me a contract.
Oh wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. So had they sort of seen you building your platform on Twitter along the way, or was that completely unrelated? It just happened to be that you've been doing all this platform building and the short stories, and then they just came up the side of that.
I really don't know. I'd like to think that it did help. I mean, it's certainly been fun along the way. I met some fantastic avid writers and really helpful people. But I don't know if it was that at all. I read the publisher as a man of very, very few words. In fact, the acceptance said, yes, I'll have this. That was it.
Wow.
And before Christmas, I messaged him just saying, you know, have a great Christmas, New Year. Thank you so much. You know, you've made my dream come true, all this. And his response back was, same to you, James.
Wow. Very, very few words. Gosh, yes.
But he can say what he wants as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. So have you got the contract for the trilogy? Have they taken on all three books?
He hasn't. I don't think I'd actually mentioned it about it. This is probably one of the only times I'd submitted that I didn't mention the whole trilogy.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't. I just thought I'd try a different approach and see if they just take it on that one alone. I didn't. After 20 odd rejections, you start thinking, well, I've got to change something in my query letter.
Yeah.
So I'd like to feel this. Again, he's a man of few words. So it's sometimes I bombard him with information and emails. So, but yeah, I'd like to feel there's a good chance or, you know, or moving on.
I guess, yeah. I mean, he obviously likes the style of this one. He likes what you've done with this one. So it will kind of be a natural, you'd think it would be a fairly natural progression, wouldn't it? If there are two books following on from this one in the same style and of the same quality, that he would say yes to those as well. You'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
I certainly would. Yeah, definitely. He did the cover art himself. So it is that nice continuity of it's all looks the same and comes from the same place. But it works as a standalone. So yeah, I think we'll have to see. But that's definitely something for the future.
So yeah, Parochial Pigs, it's only been out a month or so, I think, hasn't it?
Yes.
How is it doing so far? Where has it taken you? How are you marketing it? Has anything exciting happened as a result of it coming out?
It's literally been, as I look at the calendar here, it's 11 days it's been out, so it's 16th January. And I mean, I didn't really know what to expect, because you kind of count down the days until the release day, and then you find yourself just sitting in your house looking at your phone. Obviously, yeah. Like, you know, plastering it across social media. I was quite lucky that a friend gave me an email to the local newspaper at the beginning of the year, and I emailed them in my naivety, thinking, A, they probably won't be interested, but if they were, maybe they'll just put like a picture of the book up and a brief description. They asked quite a few questions about sort of like what I'd done before, music, and started asking a lot of stuff about charity, which I've done a lot of charity gigs. It certainly didn't paint me in a bad way, let's put it that way, but I did sort of look at it and think, God, I look like I've painted myself as Mother Teresa now. But it was
local,
brilliant.
Local media, though, is great for promoting. But local media, I think they're kind of so desperate for good news stories. They'll sort of will jump on if there's someone who's written a book in their area. That's a really good thing for them to promote, isn't it? So it's a really good source of publicity, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the comments, and I started receiving messages and things from people I hadn't seen for 20 odd years, like wishing me well. It was absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, that set me up well, definitely did. Since then, I've had a sort of like, I was asked to do a writer's workshop and do some reading at a local library.
Oh, wow.
To me, I felt totally out of my comfort zone.
You're a proper author now, though.
Yeah, you still feel like you've got imposter syndrome, don't you?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, definitely.
But that was
definitely
lovely. Went really well. Sold quite brilliant a few there. Yeah. And they've got it in the library. They're sort of messaging to say that people have taken it out and people really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's really good.
That's sort of where I am with it. I know the sales have been quite good. I ordered a load of physical copies myself. Local bookshops sold out of them, because obviously with the sort of publishing deal I've got, it's an indie deal, so they aren't putting physical copies on shelf. So that's a lot of the, you know, it is effectively the same sort of job as a self-publishing, really.
Yeah. Are you glad you went that way? Rather, did you look into self-publishing? I mean, are you glad that you got a contract rather than self-publishing it?
I think, to be honest, if I found you 6 months ago, we'd be having a very different conversation. But it is mind-boggling. I did look into it. My friend Joe, he used to do was a lot of stuff into ebooks, so I know he understands the sort of coding or the formatting side, so I knew I had him again there. But he had just changed job at the time, and the amount of effort he'd put in already, I was beginning to feel a little bit guilty. So
that's what friends are for, though.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if you've got a friend who works in an area like that, you need to kind of take advantage, don't you? So he'll tell you if it's too much. But that is really fantastic, the way it's all gone. What tips would you have for anyone else who's thinking about writing a book or is kind of maybe partway through one at the minute?
It was proved the other day at the this writer's group I did. One of the exercises I put out, and I'd agonised over this because, like I say, feeling you're not qualified for it. But what I had an idea of is because the query letters were one of the worst things, I think, out of the whole process was it's getting that hook. I mean, you've got to put in so much in a kind of like a couple of three lines or something.
Right.
You've got your title and that. So that was the writing exercise to everyone, was to say, look, I'm going to give you a title. I want you to give me a few lines as a hook, what you think it's about. Sell it to me. And the responses of people were astounding. And a lot of these people had no intention of going into writing, but even a couple of them afterwards were sort of coming up and saying, I might start writing a book now. So I think it's just, if you've got an idea, go with it. See where it will take you. Because it's that's literally how it went for me. It started as a small idea. And it ended up as a short novel. So
no, that's really good advice. Yeah, just like you said, if you've got an idea, go for it. And even if it doesn't go, even if you don't do anything with it, you just write it for your own pleasure and your own curiosity.
That's
an achievement in itself. Yeah,
it wasn't. I never in a million years when I first started writing it thought it would ever. Be some. I thought it'd be me probably sort of printing it out on the computer, folding it over, and handing a few copies out to mates. But
yeah,
but that was another important part of the process. Was you can ask your best friend, you can ask your family to read it, but you need them to be brutally honest. And I got a group of about sort of 5-6 people, and actually over the process of like sort of 3.5 years or so, I then selected another group because I felt like there was some people that have been really helpful, but some I feel like were maybe just saying what I wanted to hear.
Mm.
And that even though you get it back and you think, oh, I've done this, I'm done, this is finished, I don't want to change it. You've got to think that if someone else is reading it, then they're going to see it that way. Take on board that criticism and don't be afraid to change it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a huge advocate of using beta readers to read your book, because I mean, apart from anything, what you think is good or what you think is clear and understandable and makes sense, well, you know what you've written, you know what you're talking about. And if somebody else reads it, you've got to make sure that they actually get where you're coming from with it. And it can be so easy for things to be kind of lost in translation, I guess. And then someone else reads it, says, hang on, I really don't understand where you're coming from here. So yeah, I think it's so important to have other people read it, and people, like you said, who are willing to be brutally honest with you about what it's like, and not just say, yeah, it's really good. You kind of almost don't want that, do you? You almost want somebody to say, well, it's good, but this is what you can do better. Yeah,
that's it. My wife is probably one of my best critics.
That's good.
She probably comes with slightly annoyed anyway as I drag her away from whatever she's doing, say, quickly, can you just read this? Can you read this? And like you say, the amount of times she'll read something and say, I know you. I know what you mean by that, but other people won't. And
that's
been brilliant. So
exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. Someone who knows how your mind works will get what you're saying. Somebody completely new to the book, you need them to understand as well, don't you? So.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's exactly
another thing I used a lot in the early days was like local colloquialisms.
Okay.
Struggle to say the word. But a lot of that was very much like Ipswich, Suffolk sort of dialect. And to me, I was thinking, this is great because it fits the character. But as somebody who doesn't live around here mentioned to me, they're like, I don't really know what you're saying.
It's like I read a lot of crime books that have a kind of glossary at the back of English terms so that American readers can understand what the book's about. So yeah, you need a glossary of Ipswich slang, I guess, don't you?
That's it. Yeah. There could be a book in itself for that, I think.
There you go. The Dictionary of Ipswich Slang or Suffolk Slang. Suffolk Slang, that's got a better ring to it, hasn't it? Suffolk Slang.
All right, boy.
So what's next for you, James? I mean, you've talked about the standalone book you're working on and the trilogy. So where do you see your writing career going from here?
Well, hopefully... obviously, depending on this, it's 11 days, so I can't help but keep thinking like I might email the publisher and say, would you like to start looking at this second one? But I think I sort of need to take one thing at a time. Obviously, as much sort of promotion I can do on this, then the better. But that would definitely be the next step. See about getting the second one or a date possibly planned for it.
Yeah.
So you can work towards that as a goal. Mm-hmm. I would like the time to finish this standalone one as well, because it's absolutely no disrespect to the publisher I'm with, but it would be nice to sort of like maybe repeat the process that I did with Procure Pigs. Mm. So now having a book published, as I'm not sure you know yourself, like looks better to sort of more established publishers.
Yeah, yeah. Where
perhaps you may get a deal where they are sort of like got distribution, and as we know, that'd be a much bigger step than where I am now. So
yeah,
that would be nice. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So there's plenty more to come then, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I definitely don't think of really stopping anytime. So many, many ideas.
Good stuff. Yeah, constantly. Yeah, I think that's the thing with being a writer, is when you just have ideas for new books pop in your head all the time. Okay, yeah, that one could go down the line somewhere, but it's coming.
That's it, yeah. Otherwise, they make it as a short story.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I guess when you're a short story, I cannot do short stories. I used to be in a writing group, and we would try and do short stories. Every week we'd have a prompt or a line or something, and we'd try and do a short story. And I could not do them. I just couldn't fit in enough to make you care about the character, and to have a story, and to have a sufficient ending in a short. However many words we were going for at the time. So that's a real skill in itself, I think.
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, this just from people from the writing community on Twitter, like some of the great authors there, like BF Jones and Scott Cummings, John Bowie, who was the one that gave me the first sort of chance, and Stephen Golds. They're all out there. They've, more successful and released more books than I have. But they constantly submit these short stories. They're there for everyone to see and read for free.
Okay.
And that's effectively how I did it. If I'm honest, the first short story I submitted was an extract from Parochial Pigs.
cheating.
Yes, yeah. And then after that, I thought, I'm going to have to start actually writing some. But what I noticed about a lot of what them did is, you were there, you were straight in the story. They did, they didn't need a lot to explain the character and what was going on.
Mm.
You were sort of thrown right into it, and then almost it finished, or it left it open-ended.
So yeah.
It's like a very small section of it.
Right, and, yeah,
that helped.
Yeah, that's maybe another tip for writers then. If you've got an idea, try writing it as a short story first, because then you don't know where that might go. That could get you attention as a writer, or it could go on to become something longer, couldn't it? You could develop the idea and flesh it out.
That's it. I own all the rights to these short stories. If I ever wanted to turn one into a novel, then they're there already. You've got the sort of the beginning of an idea. And I would strongly advise anybody, whether you're at that point of ready to submit or you're just interested, join the writing community on Twitter and engage with other writers. It's not just going to happen. You've got to take an interest in other people. Naturally, people will too.
Yeah, no, that's a really good tip. Yeah, I just started doing that recently, and it is amazingly supportive, actually. Yes, yeah. Get involved in a writer's lift, and you're suddenly inundated with authors that you can connect with, and yeah, it's really supportive. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you today, James. Where can people find out more about you online?
Okay, you can find out about me. There's jamesjenkinswriter.wordpress.com. That'd be my main site, which should take you to links to Twitter and on Facebook.
Okay. And the book is on Amazon, I guess?
And the book's on Amazon. It's also available at Dial Lane in Ipswich. Hopefully it should be available from some other local bookstores soon as well.
Fantastic.
All that will be updated on my website.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Good luck with the sequel and the stand, or the sequels and the standalone, and anything else that you get up to. And thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been great.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Thank you to James Jenkins for being my guest on the show today. You can find out more about James on his website, jamesjenkinswriter.wordpress.com. His book, Parochial Pigs, is available from Amazon, and as usual, all the links are in the show notes. If you've written a novel and you'd like to self-publish it, I can help. I offer a full self-publishing package that includes editing, proofreading, formatting and cover design, and all the details are on my website, www.theprooffairy.com. You'll also find all the episodes of this podcast there, along with details on how to apply to be a guest on the show. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, share it, rate it, review it, and tell your friends about it. This has been a Proof Fairy production, and I'll be back next week with another inspiring interview with another amazing author. Bye for now.